from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to ParentCast. It's a podcast dedicated to new parents, new babies, and their new lives together. So listen and relax, folks, because it's free, it's funny, and it's a lot better than therapy. Welcome to episode 21 of ParentCast. I'm Mary.
My name is Blake, and I absolutely hate Facebook and parents together.
I hate Facebook in general.
I don't blame you.
It sucks. I mean, it just makes you feel pretty bad about yourself.
You see all the beautiful people doing everything that their lives are just so happy with. They're going on vacations, and they're going to see concerts, and we're like stuck here. We're
poor. We're hungry.
And we're hanging with our kid.
Like our date night is when we podcast. Well, tonight is not just a date night. Tonight is a friends night because we have gathered some of our best friends. We have Eric, who you have heard before. Say hi, Eric.
Hey, world.
We also have our friend Julie in New York, who just had a baby recently. Hi, Julie.
Hi. Thanks for having me, guys.
We are so happy to have you. As I said, this is usually our date night. We gave Eric a straw burrito. Blake and I are on the Whole 30 plan, so I have a watermelon infused water. I mean, we are just rocking and rolling, and Julie can't drink because she's breastfeeding.
I have to tell you, one more of these and it could get real in this podcast later, I'm telling you.
That might have to be a parent pick of the week. Bud Light straw burritas. Watch out.
This is going to be like no holds barred, you know, on this one.
Bring it.
So we were talking about Facebook. And some of us like Facebook. I mean, let's be real. All of us are on Facebook. What is it? Been around for 10 years already?
Can you believe that?
We were just talking about that last night. And how I remember sitting in the tail end of college and in grad school and having to actually do the Facebook profile and being really freaked out about, oh my God, people are going to see me. Like, I don't want to put my picture up on the internet. There are creepos out there. And ironically, we've gotten to a point in the world where we are oversharing and you will put everything happening in your life on that stupid website.
We were also talking about how back in the Facebook early days, you wrote on each other's walls, giving each other compliments. Like right now, I'd write, Julie is my best friend. She lives in New York and she is a great mom. I love Julie! ! Smiley face. Because they didn't even have emojis back then. And now people just vent. So today's topic is about Facebook faux pas. Blake, where did you find this?
I found it on MSN.com and they were actually talking about how moms overshare all this stuff that we're about to talk about on Facebook. When I saw it, I thought it was a perfect article for us because first of all, I hate Facebook and parents altogether. Like when they're like combined with each other, it's like an evil being. And when I saw it, I was like, yep, we're talking about this. And that's what we're doing here now.
Brilliant. All right. So the first topic, I want each of your feedbacks. How do you feel about pregnancy, especially pregnancy TMI, when it appears on Facebook? Give me some reason, like ways that you've seen this and how you feel about it. Eric, let's start with you.
I mean, this is something I don't think I really mind per se. I guess it just depends on how much TMI we're talking about here. Like if somebody posts about how much morning sickness they're having, or they're just publicly kind of whining about like maybe they're getting bigger or they can't be as mobile anymore. I don't really mind that because actually I find that to be birth control for myself.
How about like pregnancy announcement on Facebook? Tell me how you feel about that.
I think that that's probably the most efficient, best way to get things out. I think that you probably want to tell your closest friends first and the people that might be hurt if they have to find out through social media. But, you know, it's everyone's checking your Facebook, everyone's online, and that's the quickest and easiest way to get everything out. So I don't think I mind it at all. And a lot of people do different types of announcements now. They'll do the ultrasound, they'll do, you know, they have really, really creative ways. So I actually don't mind that stuff. I think it's kind of cute in some instances, but I think there's a part of the spectrum that really dives into the TMI about how much a person threw up that morning if they were sick or whatever the case was. So I guess I'm indifferent. I don't really mind it too much.
Julie, how about you? What about pregnancy TMI for you?
You know, I think it's something that should stay off Facebook. I really think nowadays we're missing the whole village community when raising, you know, kids and going through pregnancy. But I don't think Facebook is a substitute for the village. I think I know with Mary and my other friends, I was very open about struggles I had during pregnancy. I was someone who was very sick. Pregnancy was not very easy for me, but I didn't feel the need to share it with the Facebook world. And I don't really like seeing on my newsfeed, you know, that people are sick or, you know, that they have hemorrhoids or something. I think it's great for people to be open and talk about it. I don't think it's things that, you know, people should be embarrassed about, but I think there's a place for it, and the place is with your friends and your family, not on Facebook.
I would imagine, though, that there is probably a place where, and I don't know, I know both of you are part of a lot of forums and things on Facebook and through blogs and stuff. I would imagine that if you're talking about those things through those forums, that is probably, like, Mary, has that ever been like a support network for you? Or
yeah,
is that a place where you felt like you could get stuff out because you couldn't talk to like me or Blake because we would never understand that stuff?
Definitely. For anyone who is pregnant right now, and as Julie said, you're missing out on your tribe. You don't have your colony around you, your village. I would look to, there's all these groups like What to Expect When Expecting's app has a forum, and often people make a Facebook group out of that. There's all these different Facebook groups for people who might be due, say, in April of 2014, and they're private, and there might be 200, 300 people in it, but everyone's going through the same thing as you at the same time. So everyone might be saying, oh my gosh, does anyone else have hemorrhoids? Like, I remember I took a picture of my mucus plug and put it up in this private group and was like,
you might have also texted it to Julie and I.
And me too.
You did.
Like, you were with me when it happened.
I know, but you texted it to me eventually.
But I showed you in real life.
Well, I said, oh, did you go to the beach and catch a jellyfish? And then I found out where it came from. And I said, oh, no, that's not the ocean.
So I agree that there's definitely some places, like private groups, where you can share some things. But even in those private groups, sometimes you feel like people are oversharing. But I think I was one of those oversharers.
Oops. A little bit. I'm not going to lie.
I didn't do it on Facebook, like real Facebook.
You just did it like with us.
Yeah, whether you guys wanted to see my jellyfish or not.
Is that going to be in the new lexicon now for the mucus plug?
That's
the, the jellyfish coming from Reese's personal ocean.
Oh. Ew.
You can cut that out if you need to.
No, we're keeping it. That's authentic. Number two, the womb pictures, i.e. sonograms, or awkward baby bump pics. Julie, I know you got a good opinion on this one.
You know, the awkward baby bump pics are just something I do not like to see on my newsfeed. Typically, as soon as I see someone post that first baby bump, they get blocked because I know it's going to be every month or sometimes every week. And especially the bare belly ones. I think pregnant women are beautiful. I loved my body throughout my pregnancy, but that's just not, again, what I want to see pop up on my newsfeed when I check it. So, I was someone who took a picture when I could, and I sent it out to my friends via email. I knew who wanted to see it and who didn't, but I did not feel the need to share that with everyone in my Facebook, you know, network. So again, I don't think that's something that needs to be shared, especially on a weekly basis. And in terms of the sonograms, I think it just depends on, you know, I was someone who waited very long into my pregnancy to put anything on Facebook, but I know some people kind of just get very excited and want to announce it. And the sonogram pic, you know, is a great way to do it early on if, you know, that's, you know, your preference. But I personally didn't do that. But the sonogram pictures don't bother me as much as the awkward baby bumps do.
I got to say, Julie, too, I hate the awkward baby bump photos, the weird, awkward, like, selfies that the girl takes in, like, the restaurant, like, bathroom, yeah. And you see all the crap around her. Like, it's like, come on, dude. Why are you taking a picture of your bump
in
a restaurant or, like, at a club? Like, if you're clubbing and you're out, like, oh, look at my baby bump. That's so hot. No, it's not. And you know what really freaks me out, too? You know those new sonograms that just came out?
The 3D ones.
Oh, my God. And it makes you look like, it makes your baby looks like Clayface.
It's like Prometheus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like your baby is a character in a Marvel comic. That's what it reminds me of. And it looks freaky. It's almost like saying, oh, your baby's so cute. No, it's not. It's not when it comes out. And it's especially not freaking cute when it's in your fetus.
He has your nose. That no, that's just fetus. The umbilical cord.
Yeah, I know.
I actually, I've got a couple of opinions about this. First of all, I am on a little bit on a different end of a spectrum because I know, for instance, my friends Carrie and Kelly, who moved away to different states, and we were really good friends when they were here, and we still kept in contact with each other. And then I found out over the phone, they told me that they were expecting. And like, as a friend, you don't ever get to be a part of that experience with them like I was with you guys. And so seeing their progress was actually kind of neat and cool, and it was nice to see that part of their life. Again, it was in moderation. They weren't taking a selfie like in the club or in the restaurant mirror doing it. So I'm not as vehemently opposed to it. It is, I think it's from the person who's not having the kid. If it's a really good friend, I think it's kind of nice to see. And it reminds you that they're going through this when you're thousands of miles away from them as well. And again, the like ultrasound, I'm not opposed to. I will say, maybe this is just like the educator part of me, you should crop out all like your personal information on the ultrasound that I see people put up. So you can see like the mother's name, you can see like numbers, you can see all kinds of like bad stuff. So if you're going to do that, go for it, but just crop out all your personal information.
I love baby bump pics.
Oh my God.
And it just sucks. Okay, so I'm a blogger, so I obviously overshare. Like, I write about things that go on in my life, and I probably would have done a weekly baby bump picture starting at week 17. That's when I came out and told everyone. I probably would have done it if like if I was organized.
Doing that, but I think it lasted like 3 weeks.
I did like week 17, and then I did like week 18, and then I did week 20, and then I got mad because my chalkboard was like not erasing very well.
I think once Reese hit like grapefruit size is when you started to
I just gave up. And then I was like, crap, I didn't take these pictures. So you know what it is to me? It was Pinterest. Like, I saw these really cute, darling, black and white photos of people with their baby bump, and they were posing against the wall, and you had all 40 weeks. And it was so cute. And I see people do it on Facebook, and a lot of them do look cute. And I got jealous, and I tried, and I failed. It was like a Pinterest fail of me. So I like looking at these bumps, but then just as we were saying in the beginning of the episode, Facebook sometimes makes you mad. I then get mad at myself because I'm like, damn it. Oh, shoot, I shouldn't say that. Darn it. I don't have that. I didn't take good baby bump pics. So I love and hate them. I get jealous. All right, number three. How do you guys feel about labor updates? Okay, so when people are like, here we go, heading to the hospital. I've seen this all the time.
Yeah, I'm very opposed to it for not the obvious reasons. Like, is it TMI? Can it be disgusting and gross? And yeah, absolutely. My major concern is what, God forbid, something really bad happened. The entire world is waiting with bated breath for you to be like, it's a boy, it's a girl, this is her name, this is a picture. Like, what would happen if things did not turn out the way that they should have turned out?
Oh, man.
And honestly, though, like, that is like the worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. And so you've got the entire world then bugging you, what's going on? What's happening? And then you have to break the news that way. Like, that's awful. But also, I saw this happen with somebody that I know about 5 months ago. And they knew that their really good friend was in labor, and they kept, because of the Facebook posts, and they kept texting the father. And it's just, it's a distraction. It's not anything that the father needs to be paying attention to at that point. And I'm just very much, once you're in, like, once it's game day, just Facebook doesn't exist anymore. It's like circa 2002. We're not dealing with social media crap at that point.
I cannot stand labor updates on Facebook.
Give me some examples.
One time I actually seen, look, there's a person on my Facebook. I'm not going to say who it is. They are
if you tell me someone photographed their dilated cervix, I will walk out this room right now.
They are a criminal of pretty much all of the things that we have already talked about and are going to talk about. She actually went out and said, and was like, I'm dilated by 10 centimeters and da 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 da. Like, oh my God, I don't want to know that your vagina has opened up that much. I don't want to know that your vagina is the size of a bagel right now. I don't care about that, especially on Facebook. I'm trying to waste my time looking at like stuff from, you know, like,
Bagel today. That is big.
I know, right?
Oh my God. God bless. Continue.
Oh, God. No, I'm too busy looking at like sports updates and creeping on people's vacations. I don't want to know that your vagina's gotten that big. I don't care about your little watermelon that's coming out. I don't know. How about Julie? How about you?
I think my whole thing after going through labor is, how in the world do you have time to do Facebook updates? That was the last thing on my mind. Again, I'm not a big Facebook poster anyway, so it wouldn't have been something I would have done. But as soon as I knew that my contractions were regular and that this was it, that was literally the farthest thing from my mind. And I wanted, you know, to be able to focus on what my body was going through, what I was feeling. I wanted to be really present. I mean, I just don't know how women can even think about that in that moment. I mean, especially when they are getting to 6, 7, 8 centimeters. I mean, I was someone who didn't have an epidural until very, very late in labor. But I mean, even with that epidural, that was, there was no relaxing. There was no like, hey, pass me my phone. Let me like, you know, post, you know, on Facebook and let everyone know how I'm doing. I mean, I wanted it to be just kind of radio silence. I told my husband, like, you get to text your mom and your sister, and then that's it until he's born. Like, your focus is on me. My focus is on my body and this baby. And I just don't really know how women have the time or energy to think about updating everyone on Facebook when you're going through that.
Number four. Oh, my kid is just so perfect. He's done X, Y, and Z.
Gag.
Oh, my God. So, in other words, their children's achievements. Mary, what do you got?
I do this. I'm not even like one of the people who takes like 11 pictures for this. I take a video of my kids' achievements and I post that video on YouTube and then I sometimes embed it. But once again, I'm a blogger.
I've never seen that as overkill though from you, honestly.
But might be A, it might be because you love me and Reese.
Okay, true.
And then B, I think because I blog, it's sometimes expected that my Facebook page will have my blog post that says, Reese rolled over. Reese was on an activity mat. Reese took his first steps. Reese is eating ice cream. So,
yeah, but some parents are putting out there like, oh, my kid sneezed for the first time. Oh, look at him. He's smiling for the first time. And they're taking picture after picture after, and they're putting it up like constantly, one after the other. It's clogging up my whole feed.
I think that's the difference. If you are doing it so frequently, if you have a whole photo album, like, we get it. We get that your kid smiled. We're happy about it. Doesn't need to be 11 pictures of a smile. But on the other hand, if we don't like this, we need to hide this person from our timeline.
Yeah, but don't put it up in the first place.
No, but maybe there's people like Eric across the country who would love to see this
direct message.
Yeah. There are going to be people that are going to want to see it from across the country that have never gotten the chance to meet your kid even after a couple of years. So it is cool for them to see. I also think it's important for you to take those things and be able to keep a record of it, because you're going to want to see that as their parent. I don't mind like him walking for the first time. Throw up 900 pictures if you want to. It's cool by me. Because here's the thing, I also have a choice whether to click on those pictures or not.
Yes.
And I have a choice whether to stop or not. I can just keep scrolling through or whatever. So I think there's that other side to the argument as well. One of my Facebook friends, I honestly don't remember who they were because I was going to try to pull them up, put a full-on picture of their kid using the toilet for the first time, naked and all.
Like, oh my private God. Showing?
Not private showing, but enough where I, as the viewer, I felt very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I felt like I was committing a felony just by seeing it in my newsfeed. It was really, really uncomfortable. I thought it was highly inappropriate. I think when you start posting things like that on there that are lewd or indecent or can frankly be really embarrassing to the kid, there's just some things that you just shouldn't put up there. And the whole like, here's my kid pooping on the toilet for the first time. No one needs to see that. Take a picture with the camera, send it to grandma, who's actually the one that cares, and then call it a day.
I don't need to know that your kid finger painted for the first time. I don't need to know that your kid sat there and picked his nose for the first time. I don't need to know that your kid ate his own poop. I really don't need to know any of that. You know what? Contrary to your belief, your kid's not getting a scholarship to Harvard. Okay? It's not going to happen. He's not or she is not that special. So all your kid's little achievements, I don't care. I don't want to know about them.
This is Hannah. She's 7 weeks old. She's in the gifted program. Yeah, well, Hannah just pooped in her pants. There's your gift.
Yeah, well, my kid, she's already at a third grade reading level. No, she's not. She barely understands Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. All right, time out. Okay.
All right.
I hate that.
Number five, when parents voice their outrage. Okay.
Example,
my Facebook wall. I am totally guilty of this one. So this is when you complain about other people for being nasty to you because you have a loud kid. My child had colic for 7 months. So, for example, I might post on Facebook, oh my gosh, my neighbors are so mean. They walked by and were like, your kid's too loud. Or, you know, someone at a restaurant gave me a glare because my kid screamed during his whole meal. So it's like me being mad at the world for being mad that I had a kid. And I'm venting my frustration about them on Facebook. So I think I've done it. I think I've definitely been, I've at least written blog posts like, excuse me, I'm sorry, my kid's wicked loud, but deal with it. But some people do this on Facebook, myself included.
Yeah, but is it an overabundance of sharing? Like, I think this also refers to when moms or dads or whatever, they're hanging out and like their kid's asleep and all of a sudden like the UPS guy shows up and knocks on the door and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe the UPS guy just showed up and knocked on my door, woke my kid up.
See, I've done that. I've written like, I know for certain I wrote some Facebook posts like, dear plumber, thanks for fixing all of our plumbing right now while my kid is finally taking a nap. He hasn't napped in 3 months. I hope you like to babysit. Sincerely, tired mom. Like, I know I've written Facebook posts like that, but I think you do it because you're so tired. And when the trash man comes and wakes up your kid, or the mailman comes and wakes up your kid, it's like, that's the one you've been praying for all day long.
I don't know, Julie. Do you think this is like sanctimonious or like, you know, just like self-entitlement?
I won't be offended.
No, I mean, I think that there's a limit. I think, you know, every once in a while, it might be okay. I think it's like anyone who vents their outrage. It's not just parents. It's people who, you know, just vent because somebody was walking down the street and bumped into them. You know, there's definitely people that just kind of overshare and, you know, want to kind of get pity or, you know, want everyone to agree with them that the world sucks in that moment. But I think there is a limit. I think, you know, probably every now and then is okay. You know, I know you've done it, Mary. I don't think, you know, you've done it too much. But I think they just take it to an extreme. And that's all you see on their newsfeed. And they just seem like angry parents who, you know, kind of just want everyone's sympathy for, you know.
These sound like people who probably have a lot more issues than just the fact that their kid woke up.
I mean, I have issues.
There might be a lot more going on, and they're just using that as a way to vent it and express it. Like, they could be bitter about the fact that they have a kid. They could be upset with the fact that, for whatever reason. So I think there's a lot more going on in that person's head than just, like, the world was happening around their napping kid, because that's really all it is.
I feel like people really are going to want to be my Facebook friend after they listen to this episode.
you have done all of these. You're like, yep, done that. Yep, done that. Check. All set.
All right, let's move on.
Number six, the full Monty. Seeing those kids completely butt naked.
Oh, that's what that means.
Oh, yeah, girl. You never seen that movie, The Full Monty?
I don't know, but when I went to the salon the other day, they were like, you're going to get the full Monty. You're going to get the hair and makeup. So I thought the full Monty meant something else, not naked.
Eric, what do you think about naked babies?
I think it's highly inappropriate. I think that is private. I think that it makes me, like I said before, it makes me very uncomfortable when I see naked children. If it is a naked baby's butt and the baby is like under 6 months old, like, you can handle that. But like, once the baby starts getting to a point where like they're walking and like I just think it's wrong. I think it's uncomfortable. And this also gets to another point where, and I'm sorry to sound like such like an alarmist and an extremist at times, but there are some really sick people in this world. And there are a lot of times where you don't know who's looking at your photos and what's private. Mary, you're a blogger. You have people that you've never met before or can't even pronounce the names that are following you and looking at pictures of your kid and stuff. And so I would just, if that were my kid, I would just get very worried that, you know, there are people out there that are just have stuff wrong. And so I just would not want to put my kid in a position where that was being used for something it shouldn't. You know what I mean?
I love naked shots of kids. I'm not going to lie. I mean,
all right, wait. Time out.
So we went from like child endangerment to I just love them.
I love naked babies.
But I don't like them on Facebook. I like
if
them.
Someone like showed them to you on their phone their or they like texted
or their
them
photo
to you.
Album. I mean, those are the ones that you laugh at when you see, like, you go to someone's house and their mom whips out a photo album and there they are in the bathtub or like wearing their mom's shoes and they're 2 years old and they're butt
naked. I love
naked.
My naked baby shots. It's the only pictures I have of my butt being under a 30 waist.
So,
and I was two.
So, like, I don't want parents to not take those pictures because they are so precious. You know, I had Reese out in his little pool the other day, naked, because I didn't feel like putting on a swim diaper and then bathing suit. He was just too wiggly. And I took a couple pictures. I did not post them on Facebook, though.
Julie, please tell me you have not done this yet with your son.
I have not, and I will not.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
There will be very few pictures of my son out in the social media anyway. I think these pictures are great, Mary. I think they're adorable, but I think they're private. And I think people forget that Facebook is not private. You may go through your friend list and keep it, you know, tight and secure and you know who you're friends with, but you don't know who they're friends with. You don't know who may be looking at their profile when they have it up on their computer. I know for me, we're going to create a very private, you know, website or photo share site, and close friends only will have access to view that. And there probably will be a cute, you know, naked bum shot there, but nothing on Facebook, nothing on any sort of social media that, you know, could possibly ever get public that we don't have, you know, full rights to and full control over at that point.
Julie, do you think I'm being an alarmist when I said what I said about there just like sometimes?
No.
Okay.
I think you're absolutely right. I think there are a lot of creeps and weirdos out there, and it's very sad that we live in a day and age like this, but I think people are sometimes desensitized to it because it is the norm just to overshare our lives on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and you know, people don't realize that you don't have full control over those pictures like you do with an album at your house or by sending an email to, you know, your mom and sister and best friend. It's just a very different day and age we live in. And I think people just tend to overshare and forget that everything on the internet is going to be there forever. And everything you're putting about your kid on there is going to be there forever. And your kid has no right, you know, or say in what you're putting out there about, you know, him or her.
I have actually a personal story about something like this. My dad and my mother had a picture of my sister when she was like, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4, completely butt naked out of the picture, like out of the pool. She came out and she was just sitting there full frontal, like just like Game of Thrones style, right? This picture was shared with every single one of my sister's boyfriends.
When? How? On Facebook?
No, not on Facebook, you hoop. There wasn't Facebook back then.
Oh.
My sister's like 10 years older than I am.
Sorry. You're talking about her like she's, you know, a grandma.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. Every single boyfriend that came into that house saw a picture of my sister naked. Prom dates, boyfriends. It was like totally propagated throughout the entire, like, social hemisphere of my sister. Now, I feel like that's okay. I feel like that happens. And the reason why I say that's because it's still contained. But when you put that out on Facebook, that picture is like it's taking that situation and multiplying it by about 60 billion. So many people have control over that picture now. It's kind of gross.
Number 7. Baby mama drama. And by this I mean when people go on and they're like, oh my god, my mother-in-law, she's so mean, she like came and she thinks she knows what she's doing with my baby, but she doesn't know what she's doing with my baby. Or, oh, my husband, he just sucks, he doesn't get it, I'm so tired and he doesn't help out, or blah 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 blah.
Okay, look, coming from a dad's perspective, and I know this is gonna be hot water, if I were to hear you complain about me like that, or if I were to hear Julie complain about Nick like that, I'd be kind of messed up about that.
You did overhear someone in one of our groups, right?
I don't remember.
Oh, never mind. Maybe you didn't.
No. Like, come on. Look, dads do what they can, and they try their best. I'd say for the most part.
Can we call them partners, please?
Oh, sure. Partners, whatever.
Thank you.
Partners try their best, and no, they're not breastfeeding. No, they're not like doing the things that usual moms do, okay? But we can only do so much. and you got to give us a small break here. I don't know, Eric, what do you think?
I've never really seen too much of this on Facebook, but I think that's why I usually reserve it for the Real Housewives of various cities.
Especially New Jersey.
Oh, God, I love them. I've never really seen too much of this. I'll be honest with you, that's entertainment for me. If somebody is posting and like throwing shade about their husband or respective partner or whatever on Facebook, I like to sit there, I like to mark that thing, and I like to just watch the feed go all day on it. I think it's great because it makes my life feel so much less dramatic in comparison. So, I mean, that doesn't affect me whatsoever. I find it entertaining. So, whatever for me.
Julie, you must have seen this. I know I saw this in the forums, those secret little Facebook groups where it's all mamas.
I mean, it was sometimes nonstop, you know, where a mom would, you know, start a thread about her husband or her mother-in-law, and it would just... there'd be 200 comments within like 5 minutes. Again, I mean, I guess in those groups, maybe it's different, but I just don't think any sort of venting about your partner should be shared online. I mean, I think that's what you have friends for. That's what you have, you know, family for. Like, call up somebody on the phone and vent about, you know, your husband if, you know, you need to in that moment, but don't share that with the world because, again, you don't know who's reading it. You don't know if someone's ever going to say anything to, you know, your husband. And how is your husband going to feel in that moment if, you know, if he ever found out that you had done that or someone had said something to him like, whoa, yeah, I, you know, heard you and your wife got in a huge fight the other night. You know, like, oh, I'm there with you. Even if they're trying to sympathize with them, like, it's just, it's not the place for it.
I concur, but I also agree with Eric that I sometimes like reading it.
Oh my God. This happened on this week's episode of The Real Housewives of Orange County. I highly suggest you watch it. It was perfect. And it was a prime example of why you should never air your dirty laundry on the interwebs.
I would say this. It's one thing to get together as a group of old biddies talking about your husbands or...
biddies.
Yeah. Right? It's one thing to get together and complain about your whatever that you got to deal with. I get that. You know, you have a glass of wine, you have a strawberita, and you go to town.
You know what I complain about?
What's that?
How you never do food shopping or plan for meals. That's look, what I complain about.
Okay, look, I... food.
Anyway,
right, let's
continue.
Talk about food
that's,
shopping
that's
real quick.
All you complain about?
Yeah, I know. Let's calm down.
I know.
Here.
I have totally a really kidding. Tough marriage.
Yeah, I know. And the food shopping. Let's also talk about that, too. It's Peapod. So you got to go online. Oh, my God.
That's all I'm asking you to do is go online and click a couple vegetables that you like. Anyway, I digress. Continue. I don't complain about you on Facebook. I'll just complain about you on the podcast.
Yeah, I know. What's worse? Complaining about Facebook or complaining on the podcast?
I'm saying it to your face.
Oh, my God.
We're going to have a domestic here in about 5 seconds. Julie, help.
All right, number eight. Number eight. I hate number eight. I hate number eight.
We should actually call it number two. Because it's about poop.
Poop. When people share stories or pictures of poop from their kids on Facebook. Now, let me start this real quick. The same girl that I talked about earlier, she went out and took a picture of her kid's diaper and was like, my kid pooped brown today. Isn't it great?
No, she did not.
Oh, yes, she did. And literally, the diaper was out. There was crap in the diaper. And she took a picture of it straight on. And I'm like, why am I looking at this right now?
That is grounds for immediate blocking. That's grounds for defriending.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's total defriend quality.
Like in what world? Okay, moms, Julie and Mary, have you ever considered putting a picture of your kid's dirty diaper poop on social media? Have you ever, honestly, no judgment zone, have you actually ever considered doing it?
I mean, there have been times when Reese was pooping blue for a while, for example, like straight up blue, like the color of my walls. And Blake and I did not know what was going on. I've talked about it with people. I texted it. I wouldn't put it on Facebook.
Yeah, like you're texting people and you're doing stuff because you want to make sure that, like, has anyone else experienced this? Is your kid normal? Is all that? But, like, as an announcement to the news feed, my kid pooped a Smurf.
Because no. That's exactly what he did. No.
Can you poop Smurfs?
I don't know. Julie, have you been seeing any poop?
I mean, yeah, we've had a lot of interesting poops so far, but again, I would not put them on Facebook. I would, you know, if I really had a question, I'd probably take a picture and send it to you and ask you what you think of it. Or I would call my doctor. I think, you know,
hey, what a novel idea.
I would ever want to take a poop is maybe if I was concerned about something. And again, Facebook is not a place for medical advice, so I don't think I'll ever be posting, you know, poop photos.
That's one of my favorite things when people do that, when they take a picture of like a rash on the kid or they put up something. Actually, I did this. I think I put, oh no, he has 102 fever or something. But when people ask for medical advice from Facebook, because you're right, the pediatrician is always on call. Just call the doctor. Don't put up poop.
Well, again, and I'm going to use the word again, all these biddies out there that think that do not have a medical degree are chiming in with what they think they know and this, that, and the other. No, don't listen to those people half the time, please.
My favorite is when people just tell you, put breast milk on it. I mean, breast milk is fantastic. No, but when you get that in a comment, that's when it's tough, because I'm for people who like aren't too into it, or for people who haven't been a parent yet, when they read that, I actually love those reactions. Like when Reese had a clogged eye, people went, oh, don't worry, just squirt some breast milk in it. And I think the best part was squirt.
The visual.
So yeah, squirt. That word was the one that did it. Because she couldn't just say put or rub some breast milk.
No, squirt.
It was squirt. So I had some friends who wrote like, are you kidding me? That's disgusting. So it definitely makes for an interesting thread. But
I would say also, Eric, I think you're right when you talk about, well, I got all these ladies on this thread who think they got a freaking degree on whatever's happening.
They don't. And they just think, well, little Johnny had this, so it might be what's wrong with your little kid.
I'm a mom, so I know everything.
That holier-than-thou thing, you just take a long walk off a short pier, okay?
I know. Just like, seriously.
God. That was mean.
No, but it's true.
It's true.
It's totally true.
No, here's the thing, because it becomes dangerous, because what happens if you start listening to people on Facebook that don't know Reese's blood work or medical history or your medical history or all this other stuff, and women start to listen to these people that really, truly don't know what they're talking about. It might work for their kid, but it might not work for your kid. And I fear that you'll start listening to advice that you shouldn't be listening to, and you should just go right to your doctor.
Or it would at least influence you. You're not going to sit there and say, oh man, maybe I should squirt breast milk juice on my kid.
It's not juice. It's just breast milk.
Well, whatever. It's whatever. Maybe you start thinking
it
about
it. It smells. It's what it is.
And then all of a sudden you start saying, well, it starts influencing your ideas and how you act with your kid. And it's all because some hippie over there is telling you, oh, squirt breast milk in your kid's eye. Really?
But it does work. It does work.
Look, I refuse.
Julie, Blake, you saw Reese's eye. And Julie, you had to do the same thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we did it this week. It worked. Cleared it right.
Clogged tear ducts.
It's the juice of life, Blake. You just have to zen with it.
Oh, my God.
It's just like Windex will take care of any bruise or cut or anything.
Or duct tape.
Kim Kardashian, I think, put it on her eczema and it went away.
Kim Kardashian can take a long walk off a short pier, too.
As well with all those others.
All right, we're moving on to number 9. How do you feel when a person's profile picture on Facebook, not the cover photo, but the little square profile picture, is a baby?
Eric, I want you to start off with this one.
It's not you.
Thank you.
Okay, this is where it becomes a little frustrating for me, is when I get a friend request from someone. And I might not recognize the name right away, but I'm looking at the picture and I'm like, who is this person? Because all I see is like a little like child. I don't get it. It's not you. Again, I think it just goes out. And normally, even though your profile can be on lockdown for people to see your content, typically your profile picture is always visible. So it's just another way for you to put your kids' faces and identities out there at the forefront of the social media world, which again, I think is dangerous and not something that you should be doing. But just like your cover photo, the cover photo, whatever. That's cute when you put your kids and your whole family up there. That's fine. But like your profile picture, at least like just give us you.
Yep. Julie, that's all. How about you, Julie?
I agree with Eric. I mean, it's your profile. If you really want to put a picture of you and your kid, but you should be somewhere on there. And I think he brought up a good point that most people can see your profile pic regardless of your permission. So again, it's just another way that you're letting, you know, unknown people out there have access to your child and what, you know, your child looks like.
Mary, how about you?
Have I ever had Reese as my profile picture?
Not never. Just him, no.
Never.
I think I could see myself doing it if he was dressed.
That's the one thing you haven't done on this list.
I know. I think if he was dressed in an elf costume around Christmas time, I might. I mean, he was definitely my cover photo.
Cover
with
photos.
Yeah, he was definitely my cover photo. I think you're That's right. Fine. I want my profile picture to be me. I'm Mary Larson.
Yeah, thank you.
He's not Mary Larson. I am.
Like, honestly, you people that make your profile picture of just your kid, you need to go away. Go away for a long time.
Just block them from your timeline.
I don't know. I shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah, then don't accept their friend.
All right, we're going to get really meta about this. Ready? Okay, here we go.
Jeez, here we go.
Here we go. Your profile
I feel like I need to turn you down.
Your profile is your profile, okay? Are you really turning me down?
Yeah, you're getting a little loud. You're very excited.
I'm excitable right now.
My ears are bleeding.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And you're next to me.
All right, your profile is your profile, right? It is you. That is your being. When you start taking photos of your kid and making it your profile picture, you are now declaring to the world, I am no longer me. I am my kid. That is the whole purpose of my being, is for my kid. That's it.
Well, a lot of people feel that way, and other people can say,
No.
is my profile picture. I can do what I want.
Well, we're just telling them that we find it incredibly annoying.
Just block and I'm judging.
Them. Block them.
No, I shouldn't have to. I shouldn't have to because I really feel like you are losing your identity as an adult when you make just your kid. If you have a picture of you and your kid,
fine. Cool.
I love it. Love that idea. As a matter of fact, I may or may not have done that at one point in my Facebook life. I may have. But what I'm going to say is stop making your kid your only profile picture. Number 10. Speaking in a tone that is made for your kid. Meaning, hi, I'm little Johnny, and I took my first poop today. Oh my goodness gracious. What is this about, Eric?
Oh, God. Okay, so that's been happening in my newsfeed a lot these days. And
I feel like this is a recent thing.
Yeah,
by the way.
And honestly, does it bother me? I wouldn't say it bothers me. You know, is it a way for somebody to get updates on what's happening with that particular kid? Absolutely. It's a good way to do so. It's awful. I find it just kind of like, I just find it a little juvenile.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know. I don't know. It's just weird. You know what? It's because it's been happening to me with people that I don't know very well. It's just weird. I don't know. And again, I'm coming from the non-parent, having gone through this, haven't spewed a kid from my body, so I might be having a totally different opinion if I have at that point. But it just, I don't know. It's weird. And again, I always want to like stress that. It's like, it's very different when you, all right, for instance, one of my old coworkers would do that, but it was her Christmas letter that she would send to like her entire like friends and family. So it was an update on what the kids did that year and all that stuff. Super cute. Really loved it. I thought it was nice. It was really creative. But I think it's because I've been seeing this like every 3 days. Like, I'm 37 days old now, and this is what I did today. And it's like, really? Shouldn't your parent be taking care of you instead of chronicling your life on Facebook?
In your voice.
I don't know. Again, I'm not so turned off by it where I'm like, it's just kind of like, whatever.
I think if it's your stick, like that's like you have a blog about that, like that's like your method of writing, or that you're doing a Christmas letter or something.
That's cute.
Every once in a while, that's kind of cool. I don't know, Julie, what do you think?
Well, I am guilty of this. Obviously not on Facebook, because I posted 2 pictures throughout my entire pregnancy on Facebook. But I did send my husband a weekly email from the baby, just explaining like the development that week, you know, like what was happening.
Give us an example. Give us a sentence.
And that is so different than I think the extreme other stuff we've seen. That I think is actually pretty cool that you did.
I would agree with that.
Give me an example sentence. What did you say during your pregnancy?
Well, no, it would be like, hey, daddy, like I'm, you know, 22 weeks old. Like, this is how big I am. This is what's happening. Like, you know, just to kind of, he had an app of his own to kind of track what was happening throughout the pregnancy. But it was just something I tried to do every week to keep him kind of informed and connected to the pregnancy, because it is, you know, I think it's sometimes hard for, you know, men until a certain point, especially, you know, before they can feel the baby kick and move. It's you know, they're kind of separated from what, you know, you're feeling and experiencing on a daily basis. And I also sent, you know, pictures whenever I did bump photos to a small group of family and friends, you know, and it would usually, again, like, you know, we had a cute nickname for our son, and it would be an email from him just saying, like, here I am, this is how big I am, like, you know, I'm driving my mom nuts, kicking out her belly button, you know, like, it would be stuff like that. But again, everyone I sent it to, you know, I knew that they wanted to read it. It wasn't something I felt the need to impose on every single person I'm friends with on Facebook.
So, Blake, I remember one time you and I were having a conversation. Mary wasn't really showing yet. And I said something about, like, do you feel connected to your kid yet? Mm-hmm. We didn't even know if it was a boy or a girl at this point. And you were very honest. You were like, honestly, I don't see it. I don't feel it. It's just kind of an enigma to me. And I don't really know what's going on. And so I think actually, Julie, what you did, I think that's really, really cool, because you're right. It brings them into the experience and it brings them into the process. And I remember Blake even saying, like, I feel bad that I don't know what she's going through and I don't know how she's feeling. So this was kind of a nice way for the two people to kind of bring it all together.
And I think that's okay between the wife and the husband, or the partners, or whatever.
That's a great, like, communication tactic,
it is,
actually.
And I love it, but it shouldn't be proliferated throughout all of Facebook for the entirety of the planet to see from one lady to another. Like, for example, Julie talked about doing that with Nick. I know Mary did that with me too.
Yeah, I did, because you didn't, like, pay attention to any of my pregnancy for a while. So I wrote a sticky note and put it in the bathroom. So while you were on the crapper, it said, hi, Dad, please read a book. The book is right here, so you can read it when you're on the bathroom, because I'm growing really strong and mom's working really hard.
I read part of that book when I was using your bathroom one time.
Yeah, it's the cave.
It's a good read, isn't it?
Yeah,
it
was we actually have that book right now.
The Caveman's Guide to Pregnancy.
Oh, it's
because
fantastic.
Because to be honest with you, like, any guy, because we've never known that and we never will know that sensation or feeling or the experience of it. You know, even when you told me that you were pregnant, I
cried.
Okay, yeah, I did. But I didn't, like, not that you don't believe it, but, like, you really don't, like, believe it. It doesn't hit you until you start to, like, physically see. We're just very pragmatic men, you know? Mm-hmm. And so until you actually see it, you're just like, oh, she's pregnant. There's nothing happening, really. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's an elastic band on your jeans. Okay, yeah, it's happening.
So here's my question to you. You guys are saying that what Julie did with her husband was cute. What,
yes,
I did with you, Blake, was cute.
And it worked,
so,
by the way.
If people are on Facebook because they're there to meet up with their friends and their loved ones, if they want to share it this way and make it so that it's cute for their friends and family who may live away. So if you live, like Julie, you live far away. Granted, you're not, like, Facebook friends with necessarily your mom. You know, that's not how you mainly communicate with her. But what if you have a big family and they like this?
She's trapping us.
Because my opinion on all of these things is
trapped.
If you don't like what people put on Facebook, you can hide them. You can even block them. You don't have to accept their friends. But if you were just saying how precious and how cute this is, like Eric just showed me an example. It was two paragraphs long about what a girl did in her first month of life. Yes, it's a lot. But on the other hand, I'm reading it and I'm smiling. It said, I went for my first stroller walk this month.
I think one thing to take away from this is that with the exception of, I think, labor updates, birth announcements, the full Monty, poop, everything, nothing is really right or wrong, I think.
You just basically don't want to know about bodily fluids.
It really is just faux pas. It's really just preferences. It's really just, you know, what I find annoying, what I think is lame, mm-hmm, what I'm just, like, really not interested in reading. And I think that's what it's about, really, with the exception of the things like the poop, the full Monty, the labor and birth announcement. Like, those things, I think, are just wrong. I think it's black and white. All this other stuff is gray, and it just comes down to us just complaining.
Being little bitties.
Because it's a lot better than therapy.
Ooh, good branding. Thank you. No, I, you know, to that end, I would also say this. The trump card is always, well, you can block them. You don't have to be friends with them. Yeah, you're right. I could always block somebody. But at this rate, at the way that it's happened, we're at the age now where everybody's starting to have kids. Everybody's starting to go and do the things that they're doing. If I have to block these people, I'm not going to have any freaking friends left.
I mean, you're not going to after this episode.
You'll have me.
Yeah, that's okay. We can drink strawberry together.
And I post about teenagers and cats. So
and so Real Housewives.
Here we go. Buckle up.
Well, you were just talking about how you post about teenagers because your job deals with teenagers. This is often mom's job. So think about how often you complain about your job or how you talk about your job. This is what moms are doing 24/7. So that's my last little thing, is that if people want to complain about things, they can. You just need to block them. All right, let's change subjects. Let's just keep whining. Let's talk about our wines of the week. My wine of the week is that my dad put a size 2 diaper on my kid when babysat last night. Size 2. My kid's size 4. So imagine wearing, like, let's say you were like a size 8 for underwear, and then someone put you in size 4 underwear, like half of the size of what you're supposed to be. That would be an uncomfortable night. So I don't know where this size 2 diaper came from.
Where did they find it?
No idea. There was a whole thing full of size 4 diapers. But I took my son this morning. He was crying a lot and he was tugging at his diaper. And then when I'm like taking off, I'm like, God, this kid has like a wedgie. How did he do this? I really thought he like wiggled his way into a wedgie. No, it was a size 2. So I don't know where this phantom size 2 diaper came from, but that's my wine of the week. So let's change modes. Let's talk about the good things since we whined this whole episode. Let's talk about the wins of the week. Yay! Julie, what do you got?
Well, my win of the week has to do with my son. The past 3 nights, he's given me about 2-3 hour stretches throughout the night of solid sleep. So it's very welcome, and I hope we continue on this trend the next couple nights, because it's been a rough couple 2 weeks here. But I know he's young, and it's to be expected. But it's been very pleasant getting that, you know, those few extra hours of sleep. So I just want to say yay for him for being the best baby.
Aww, what a little perfect newborn getting in some 3 hours. Now, Eric, you said that you had a win of the week too.
Yeah, it was that. So the other day I posted on Facebook about how before everyone should get their beach pass, they should all take a class in beach etiquette. Oh. If you ever saw that post I posted on Facebook the other day. And it was like, you know, beach etiquette from don't feed the frickin' seagulls to, like, if there's 9 acres of sand next to you, don't put your stuff right on top of me. Like little beach etiquette stuff. I saw there were 2 parents and 2 children that were sitting in front of us at the beach today. And this father, I think he might have been a military dad because it's just the way that he came off to his kid. But I just thought it was so awesome. Before they put everything down, the father said, and the kids are probably like 6 and 8. And he gave a little bit of a, all right, here's how this is going to go. Whenever you're running, you're going to make sure you're not running over people's beach towels. You're not going to kick up sand and you're not going to annoy people. You're not going to scream. If you're going to use the balls, you're going to go down to the water so it doesn't hit people in the face.
Wow.
Like set like, and it wasn't like a like strict kind of thing. It was just a nice like, here is how you're going to act in public and here's how you're going to treat other people. And I was so refreshed by it. And it was like the kids were still having fun and a great time and stuff. But I just thought it was interesting because I have not seen a lot of that happen at the beach this summer, where I had a kid, 2 kids playing Frisbee. And one kid literally, I don't think I told you, just threw himself on top of me while I was laying on the towel to catch the Frisbee. And I gave the kid a dirty look. And then the mother gave me a dirty look for giving the kid a dirty look. I'm like, your 10-year-old just tackled me while I'm sleeping on the beach. It was very upsetting to me. So anyway, I just thought it was really refreshing to see these parents just say, we're going to have a fun day. Here's how we're going to be acting in public. And you're not going to annoy the crap out of all these other people today. And you're not going to kick sand on them. And you're not going to hit them with balls. And you're not going to feed the seagulls. And I just thought it was kind of nice. That's all.
I like that. That's a good one. Proper manners.
I got one too. The other day I had Reese on the couch. And he was like excited because he was watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. And he was jumping up and down, kind of how he does on the couch. He was on his knees, so he wasn't on his feet, and I was okay with that, with him being excited. He was on the couch 1 second, and then the next second, as he was jumping, boom, took a face plant right into the hardwood floor.
No kidding, he's jumping on the couch.
Face plant. I mean, like, and I heard a smack, too, like a, you know, and I was like, oh my God, that's gotta hurt.
We are talking about wins, right?
Oh, yeah, well, I'm getting to that. Okay. So he gets up and he looks at me, and I can see the tears welling up in his eyes a little bit. And he's looking to me like, am I supposed to be hurt? Is this okay? And I'm like, hey, buddy, you all right? You good? And he looked at me and he put his hand on his face and he was just like, oh, okay, I'm all right. And then he just got up and went right back on that couch and kept on watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. And I was like, yeah, man, I am so proud of you. Way to not be a Nancy about it and go out there and just be a man and take a punch and get back up and do it again. Loved it. Thought it was phenomenal. How about you, kid?
My win of the week is just very simple. My son keeps learning more signs, and I get very excited about it. He learned the sign for blue, so if he wants blueberries, he does blue. The only problem was he woke up this morning at 5:45 signing for a banana.
That's true.
I am fascinated by the fact that kid knows sign language.
Yeah, he screams a lot, but he'll scream and then he signs what he wants to you. So,
well, we were at the diner the other day and he was getting a little fussy about something when the waitress was taking our order and he started making all these hand movements. I just thought he was throwing stuff at me. Mary goes, "I'll have a pancake with butter on the side, a little fruit cup, and a
what is that, Splenda on
some,
the side
and
too,
and some eggs." I was like, what?
"No, I definitely was like, oh, he wants a banana now. Now he wants a blueberry. He would like some milk, please." Yeah, he pretty much has like 20 words. It's pretty crazy. So that's my win of the week.
God, it's like Rain Man. It was amazing.
Dexter me.
All right, parent picks of the week. Blake, do you know what you have? What you recommend?
Yes,
what tip
I do.
Or trick?
I got a tip for parents who need a night out. You know what you got to do?
What?
Just stay in. Stay in and get Bud Light Lime Strawberitas.
I'm wrecked.
Eric had two of these bad boys, and if you can't tell already, he is pretty trashed. I'm not going to lie.
I wouldn't say trash. I'm a little red and flushed right now.
I can see it. Like, I could see the red in your face.
Whew.
And when I seen this, I said, this is mommy's timeout right here. This right here, this makes for a beautiful night. Bud Light Lime Strawberitas. The ABV in these bad boys are 8%. It's only an 8-ounce can.
It really looks like the mini V8s or like something that they use behind the bar for pineapple
juice.
Like,
it's like airline sized.
Yes.
Do you know how much booze has got to be in this thing for it to be 8% ABV and only an 8-ounce can? It's like basically drinking straight freaking
tequila. But it tastes, I mean, I'm not drinking it right now, but it tastes magical.
So that's my tip for all you parents out there who heard your kids scream too much or you got poop up in his ears or whatever. Pop one of these bad boys. Bud
stay
Light Lime
Facebook.
Strawberita. Stay off Facebook.
Stay off Facebook. Don't Strawberita in Facebook, man. Not a good idea.
Julie, you got a parent pick?
Well, yes. Mary was actually here visiting us last week, and she helped me figure out the Velcro swaddle, and we finally found something that my son can't bust his way out of. So I'm not sure if that, you know, correlates to him sleeping better, but he can now not bust out of his swaddle at night. So that's been a welcome change. So the Velcro sleep swaddles have been a lifesaver.
Yes. Oh, so glad to hear that. That's awesome. Eric, do you have anything that you'd recommend to anybody?
Well, you guys came to a little party that we had over the past weekend, and I recommend that. So actually, okay. So this is kind of, we had a party and it was at like a restaurant bar type of place. And I was like, bring Reese and stuff. Because there were karaoke rooms that were right next to our space that we had. And I was like, perfect. There's a room. There's a TV. There's Mickey Mouse on the TV. Throw the kid in there. Shut the door. And he was occupied for 2 hours flat. It was fantastic. So I do recommend that if you're going to host a party and you're going to have your friends with kids come, have something where, like, if you can find like a room or like something that's like easy for them to do, and because you guys were able to hang out with us the entire time and still be there, but you just threw him in the room, threw some Mickey Mouse on. The kid was mesmerized for 2 hours. It was fantastic, and he ate two sliders, by the way,
and some fries.
And it definitely helped that it was a karaoke soundproofed room. So when he was getting later in the evening, I looked over, and we didn't leave him like unaccompanied. Someone was always in there with him, but I looked over at some point, and he was like smushing his face into the glass. Open
glass door.
Mouth,
so awesome.
Saying "Mama," but I couldn't hear him, so it was like on mute. And I was like, "Wow, I need to get those tours from my house."
Yeah, it was really cool.
How about you, kid? What do you got?
Okay, so I have two quick parent pits of the week. First thing, freshly picked moccasins. They were on Shark Tank. Hoo ha ha! But do you get Shark Tank? Hoo ha ha!
I do.
Okay, funny.
That was just a lame joke.
Oh God, sorry. Well, they were on Shark Tank, and it's this woman who makes baby moccasins, and I love them. They actually stay on Reese's feet for the most part, and he really loves them and he walks around in them and he signs shoes. So I'm happy about that. But the reason I'm telling you this is because I am giving away a pair on my blog.
Oh, another giveaway.
I know. I'm just cranking it out for ParentCast listeners. So if you head on over to tallmomtinybaby.com or even to our website, parentcastpodcast.com, you'll have a link for it. If you review us on iTunes, you get 10 extra points. And if you've already reviewed us on iTunes, you're going to get those points. Just make sure you write it in. So all the information will be on parentcastpodcast.com. But the other recommendation that I have is to get Baby Signs 1-2-3. That's my baby sign language book. I didn't write it. It's the one that I like the most. Baby Signs 1-2-3, my favorite baby sign language book. Your kid could be signing for bananas at 5 a.m. Dreams do come true. All right. Thank you so very, very much, Julie, for chatting with us with your little newborn nestled in with you. This was great to have you on. We love having a newborn mom's experience.
Well, I'm very happy to be on. Thanks so much for having me. And, you know, I'm glad Theo wasn't too loud during it. So,
nah, he was great. He was awesome. And Eric, thank you, sir, appearing once again on ParentCast.
Of course. I'm glad I can come in and bring the perspective.
Everybody loves your episodes, by the
they
way.
They do?
They're like the most popular episodes.
Have I received comments?
You have received some comments on Facebook.
No yes, way. You're going to have to show me.
I'm going to.
I might start a booking fee. I'm not going to lie.
So, Blake, what do we have coming up on episode 22?
Coming up on episode 22, we are talking about all things sleep related for your child. Tips, tricks, just ways to not kill yourself. So make sure you go ahead and get us that feedback, Facebook, Twitter, anything you can think of, even the hotline. And if it's good, we'll put it on the air. And if it sucks, well, as always, you're left out. Later.
ParentCast is a Tall Mom Media production. Please do not take anything that we say as true facts. We are not specialists or really anything. We're just parents who are trying to figure this thing out. So research things on your own.
Don't sue us.
Please.
Whoop-whoop.